Let's stand. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, verse 1, which I preach unto you, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Dear Lord, in this time this morning, I pray that this will be helpful to everyone here and be an encouragement to them and give them some direction for the future after West Branch, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You can be seated. Often we hear that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now that would be true, but there's actually a little more than that in it. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ according to the Scriptures for you. So the gospel is for you. Now, nine things. Number one, understand salvation. Understand salvation. In other words, in your mind, understand what it means to be saved. Now, the Bible says that Christ died for our sins. We saw that last night. So, would you mind helping me a second? Okay. You want to stand right there? And would you mind helping me a second? All right. You'll stand right behind the pulpit. And this is me. This is the way the gospel works. You can back up just a tad. All right. We're going to let your first name?
Andrew. Yes, sir.
And your first name?
Lawson.
I wish I could have picked some better looking guys, but they were right on the front. So Andrew is going to represent God. Now, he's not, but and we know that, but he's going to represent God. And then Lawson's going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, God says to me in the Bible, Bill, you're a sinner, and you deserve judgment, separation from me, hell, and the lake of fire. Well, I know that, but I don't want to go to hell. Do you? I don't want judgment or the lake of fire, but I can't save me. But Christ and God are the same. They're both God. Is that not true? And Christ and God love me. I can't explain it. I just state it. So in essence, Christ says to the Father, Father, don't punish Bill for his sins. Punish me for his sins. I will die in Bill's place. So when I was just a youngster, I happened to be four, when I was just a youngster, I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get me to heaven. I believe Jesus Christ died in my place, and I will trust him to save me. Now, when I did that, Christ took my place, and I took his. On the cross, they killed Jesus Christ. He suffered an eternity for my sin. What happens to me? Nothing. I've been saved because Christ died for my sin. You got it? Thank you. All right. So understand salvation. Number two, understand assurance. Now, you've heard about that this week, and that's wonderful. And let's just review it briefly. 1 John 5 says, these things have I written to you that believe. So is God speaking to saved people or unsaved people? These things have I written unto you that believe. Is he speaking to believers or unbelievers?
Believers.
All right. So he says, these things I'm writing to you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Okay. Is it possible that a person could be a believer but not know that he has eternal life? Yeah. All right. So how do you know? You know because you take God at his word. This is the record, says verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Assurance is not only important, it is wonderful. And you can know that you're saved. Number three, witnessing. In Mark 16, 15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's called the Great Commission, and it's given to us. But actually, the emphasis there is not on the word go. The emphasis is on the word proclaim or preach. In other words, you're not commanded to go. You're commanded to tell people how to be saved. Now, some people say you need to go. Some of you should think about going to Brazil. Some of you should think about going to Europe. That's not what the Bible is saying here. In fact, forgive me, for you English buffs, it's a participle in the original language, and it actually says going into all the world, preach the gospel. In other words, God knew that you would be going, and the point is, having gone or being a going person, be sure you give the gospel. Okay, you go to school? Yes. You go to work? Yes. You go to your aunt's? Yes. You go to Arizona? Yes. You go to California? Yes. Has some of you gone to Washington State? Yes. To Iowa? Yes. To Tennessee? Yes. In fact, if I ask how many states are represented by the people who are here this morning, it would probably be more than 40. We are a going people in America. Now, you may never have been out of Arizona. That's fine. You probably will at some point. So the truth is that as you go, you should tell people. Now, listen, young people, don't let this be mind-boggling to you. I've got to tell people how to be saved, and what if they ask a question I don't know, and what if they argue, and what if they don't accept what I say? Fine, just as you are going, let people know how to be saved. Now, let me give you a method that can help you. Get a tract at your church, a tract. You know, a little tract tells you how to be saved, and memorize it. Now, I don't mean memorize the words. I mean memorize the points. Most tracts will say something like this. We're all sinners. God judges sin. Jesus Christ paid our judgment. And if you'll believe on Him, you can be saved. So just memorize those things and memorize the addresses of the verses it uses. And then try to pass. Now look, make it a goal to pass out at least one tract every week. You can do that. See, you say, well, yeah, but I think I should talk to people too. Fine, you got to start someplace. Tracts are great. So give people tracts and then explain it to them if you can. When I was in Bible college, I led singing in a revival for an evangelist my junior year. And he was an older guy. I was in Bible college. And we would go visit in homes, and he had written a tract. And he would say, I want to show you something that I've written. And he would read his own tract to them. And at first I thought, that's strange. But it worked. So you can do that. And sometimes people say, well, okay, but let me ask you a question. Why is there so much suffering in the world? Now, there is an easy answer to that, and the answer is sin. But let's forget the answer for a second. When somebody says, why is there so much suffering in the world? Say, you know, I don't know. I love the woman at the well. When she was saved, the Bible says, many of the Samaritans, or the men of that city, believed on him, Jesus, for the saying of the woman which testified, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, I can do that. I can say, hey, Jesus Christ saved me. I'm just telling you this works. So, witness. Number four, seek God's will for your life. Seek God's will for your life. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, God's will is always good. It's always acceptable. The word means pleasant or pleasing. God's will is always good. It's always pleasing. and it's always perfect. The word perfect means mature or complete. You need to be in God's will for your life. Now, how do you know God's will? Two things to know God's will. Number one, be willing to do anything. Number two, obey in everything. If you want to know God's will, be willing to do anything and obey in everything. For example, do you obey your parents? Do you obey rules here and there? Do you have a spirit of obedience? You need to obey to know God's will. And you see that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You're to present your body. You're to submit to. You're to be under. So you need to obey, and then you need to be willing to do anything. So, for example, would you be willing to run a Chick-fil-A in Louisville, Kentucky? We say, I don't want to run a Chick-fil-A. That's not the point. You tell God, I don't know what I want right now. I'm 16, but I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. See, if you say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do as long as it is in Arizona, you're had. Be willing to do anything. Be willing to go anyplace. Would you be willing to live in Minnesota? All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I would not want to live in Minnesota. I would not want to live in Illinois. I was born in Illinois. Don't tell anybody, but I was born in Illinois. But that's not the point. The point is I should say, God, if you want me in Minnesota, I'm gone. If you want me in Illinois, I'm there. Be willing to do anything and be obedient in everything. Now let me just slip this in, all right? Consider full-time Christian work. Look, we need preachers. You say, I would be scared to death to stand up in front of people and talk. Okay, tell the Lord, Lord, I would be scared to death to stand up and talk in front of people, but you want me to be willing, so if you want me to be a preacher, I'll be one. See, think about Christian education. I don't mean this to be silly. Some of you girls ought to say, Lord, I would be willing to marry a man who's going to be a preacher. Did you know there's a lady in this room who wanted, when she was single, to marry an evangelist and told God that, and she did? Did you know that? And she's helping this summer at West Branch. I'm telling you, just be willing to do anything and consider full-time Christian work. Was that four?
Yes, sir.
Okay, five. Christian college. Okay, now, I'm going to be as kind as I can be about this, but it's really hard for me to be kind about this. I don't know that you should go to college, and I'm not worried about whether or not you go to college. But if you do go to college, you make sure it's a Christian Bible college or a Bible college. Do not give your brain for 4 years to the wicked, filthy, godless, stinking people in public education.
That's right.
Now you say, Brother Rice, I know a good guy, and he went to University of Arizona. I don't care, don't you go. But I know a lady, and she went to Colorado State. I don't care, don't you go. Mary and I have a dog. I would not, and I'm serious, and if you know me, you know this. I would not send my dog to University of Arizona, or to University of Tennessee, or to Middle Tennessee State University. I cannot tell you the animosity I feel for state schools. You say, why is that? Because they have hurt young people that I love, and I have absolutely no patience with it. Let me tell you a quick story. You ready? Mary and I were eating in Murfreesboro at an Italian restaurant. What's the name of that place?
Carrabba's.
Yeah, Carrabba's. Have you ever been to Carrabba's? All right, doesn't make any difference. Nice place. So we were eating, and a very nice young lady was our waitress. I thought she was about 18, but it turned out she was 20 or 21. She was at MTSU, that's the university in Murfreesboro, and she was studying pre-law. She wanted to be a lawyer. Well, I think it's great to want to be a lawyer. All right. But by the way, you can do pre-law at a Christian college. You can do pre-med at a Christian college. And you're going to have to go to grad school if you're in either of those. So you can still go to Christian college. At any rate, she was in pre-law and she was working 40 hours a week at Carrabba's. So this girl is a go-getter, isn't she? She was working 40 hours a week. She was taking 16 or 18 hours of full load, and she was nice as could be. And she'd come back to the table with water and check on us, see if we're doing all right. So we had a little conversation in the time we were there. Well, on her left arm, she had a tattoo of a snake. Now, this is not a message about tattoos. This is a message about Christian college at this point. She had a snake. So she came over several times. I said to her, "Hey, what's the snake about?" Now, when you see a snake, what's the first thing you think of? You don't have to say it, just what's the first thing you think of. So I said, "What's the snake about?" And she said, "Well, you know, a snake changes its skin every year." Well, you knew that, didn't you? So she said, "A snake is like a new beginning. It's like being born." All right, now let me ask you, I'm serious. How many people would see this snake on her arm and go, "A new beginning"? All right. So when we got ready to leave, as is customary, I gave her a track. It's from the ranch. And I always say, have you ever heard of the Bill Rice Ranch? No, or whatever. Well, it's a Christian camp. It started in 53, and it reaches deaf young people, and it shows people how they can know they're going to heaven, just like this track will tell you. And on the back, there's a website, and you can look this up. So I gave her this track, and I said, have you ever heard of the Bill Rice Ranch? She said, "Bill Rice Ranch? I've been there 3 times. I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes." Now, we had never seen her because she had come to 3 school retreats with a church north of Nashville. She was not a member of this good church, but she was in their Christian school, and she had come to the ranch with the Christian school 3 times. You following the story? All right. So she'd never been to summer camp, but she had been to the ranch. Well, she was a Christian. And she was as sweet as she could be, and she was a hard worker, and she was a go-getter, and I admire her, don't you? Okay, where did this stupid thing about a snake means a new beginning? Where did that come from? She is a student at a state university. Yeah, but she goes to church. I don't care. Yeah, but she came to the ranch 3 times. I don't care. She gave her mind to godless people, and she wound up with a snake on her arm. And let me ask you, in your imagination, what else? So my deal is, if you're going to go to college, you make sure it's a Christian college. You say, well, my parents don't want me to go to a Christian college. Okay, I would not go against your parents. I understand that. If you don't have any choice, you don't have any choice. But if you've got any kind of a choice, and even if your parents want you to go to a state school, ask them if you can go to a Christian school or a Bible college. Number 6, remember that God provides not only salvation, but victory. Remember that God provides not only salvation, but victory. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, God is faithful and you need to trust God about everything. Don't say, God saved me, now I'll take care of myself. You trust God for everything. Number 7, church. Church, 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 church. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now listen to this. As the manner of some is. So in the first century, just a few years after Christ died, there were some Christians who didn't go to church, just like there are now. The church is important. You need to go to church. The preceding verse, 24, says that we are to provoke one another unto love and good works. So you go to church to encourage people, and you go to church to allow people to encourage you. Go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church. All right. Now, I'm just going to say one thing about church, and it's not going to be what you expect, but I'm going to say it anyway. All right? Get involved in church, and one of the things you can do to be involved in church, listen, is not sit in the back. Sit up front at church. Now, you say, Brother Rice, doesn't somebody have to sit in the back? Yes, make it the old people. Move them out. Guy's got white hair. I'm sorry, I've been sitting here for 47 years. Yeah, well, that's over. You're going to the back, old guy. We're sitting down here near the front. You got this. Now, hopefully, you'll be a little more kind than that, but sit near the front. Listen, until you become a preacher, you will never know how important it is that people listen and that they are aware. Nobody knows this, but I can see you as well as you see me. So if you drink water, a guy just did, I can see that. You say you think that's wrong? Yeah. Yeah, he's in a service. You don't have to drink water. You can die and drink water after. What if you have to go to the bathroom? You're a teenager. Learn to go before you go into the auditorium. Be a good listener. Listen, this is the truth. I'm not a pastor. I couldn't be a pastor. I don't have the gifts that are necessary to be a pastor. One being patience. I don't have any of that. I don't really want any of that. But nonetheless, I couldn't be a pastor. But if I were a pastor, and if I ever built a church building, it would have no back row. We would go halfway back and stop. You say, well, wouldn't halfway back be a back row? Technicality. I don't think you should sit in the back row. Now, somebody does have to. But make it not be you. Go to church. Number 8. Pray. Now, we've heard a little bit about this. I need to hurry here. I don't want to take all your time. I learned something about prayer this week that's valuable. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I did learn it, and I'm going to be sharing that with other people as soon as possible. But I loved when Brother Troy was talking about prayer, that he talked about being dependent and your need to God and just asking God. Don't think of prayer as, I was up at 4 in the morning pleading with God for needs. You may do that, and that's fine. Don't think of prayer in light of time. We prayed for an hour. That's fine, but prayer is just depending upon God and asking Him. So, for example, when you're going home in the van and your youth pastor is driving or your pastor is driving, before you get in the van, just say, Dear Lord, give us a safe trip. If your youth pastor is driving, start praying the night before. All right, so just pray. Pray things like, Lord, help me have a good day. Lord, help me to do right. You know, simple sentence prayers where you are cognizant, aware of God's presence and trusting in Him. And then while you're praying, can I ask you to do this? Would you pray for West Branch? Has the week been a good week for you? Yeah, me too. I've been blessed at West Branch. I'm sure you have been. I've learned at West Branch. I'm sure you have. West Branch is a good deal. Okay, it's time for you and me who have been here and been blessed by West Branch to pray for others. All right? Now, I don't need to burden you with all kinds of things, but Brother Troy was just talking this morning about a pump or a water system that needs to be looked at next week, and it'll be between $600 and $1,000 to take care of. There's stuff like that all the time. There's stuff like that all the time. You can't eat at McDonald's all things being equal, for less than $7. So you take $21 a day times 5 days, that would come somewhere in the vicinity of what West Branch spent on you for food this week. You say, yeah, but we paid. And I know you did, and God bless you for that. The fees that campers pay, for which we are thankful, do not cover the cost that West Branch has. Pray for us. Just, you know, pray for us. Put, you got a West Branch shirt, a West Branch cup, you got a book, whatever. Pray that God will help you about West Branch, all right? Number nine, is that the one? Yeah, number nine. Read your Bible. Okay. Now, somebody says, if I'm supposed to read my Bible, but I was reading last week in the book of the Revelation, and I don't understand what it means. Well, join the club. I don't either. Now, I've been told, I've been instructed, but you've got to work to study the Bible. That's okay, but read it. Read the Bible. We say, okay, should I read a chapter a day, 2 chapters a day, 5 chapters on the weekend? How much should I read? Can I make a suggestion? Are you listening? All right. Read 10 verses a day. You say, 10 verses, that's not much. It's more than nothing. So just get up, sit down, read 10 verses a day. If you want to read 20 verses, read the 10 a second time. All right, and try to think, what does this mean? I would suggest you read, and different people would give different suggestions. I love John. I would suggest you start there. I think Proverbs might be really helpful as well. If you want to read more than 10 verses, that's fine, but don't overstay your time. In other words, you say, yeah, but I think I should be doing more. Listen, you need to start, read 10 verses a day. Now, when you come across a word you don't understand, use a Bible like Ryrie Study Bible or Scofield Study Bible. I have a John Rice. I love it. Brother Troy has a John Rice. Whatever you have a Bible that'll have notes, and you can look to see what men say about the word. Now, they could be wrong, too. Did you know that? You can get a Bible app that will help you know what words in the Bible mean. But do the best to understand it, but read 10 verses or so a day. Now, I got two more things to say. They're not in my notes, but two more things. And this is free and for nothing. If you battle with assurance, if you've had trouble with assurance, Brother Troy has a book. It's entitled Settled and Strong. If you battle with assurance, you need that book, so you get it. Take your counselor, ask your counselor to give you a copy of that book, and you can have it for nothing, and Mary and I will pay for it. Okay, how much are the books, Brother Troy? $5, that's a lot. Brother Troy will pay for the book. No, if you want the book, you get it, and we'll pay for it, all right? Now, you get your counselor so there won't be any confusing. He was back there and he says, Brother Bill and Mary are paying for the book. And so you get the book. They will say to us, you owe $5. And I will say to Mary, you owe $5. And we will pay for the book. Fair enough? Okay, number two. If you struggle with reading the Bible, is Will's book back there? Devotional book?
I think there are still a couple.
Okay. There are a couple devotional books. They're $15, I think. Does that sound right? Okay. If you need one of those, you can pick one up. They're $15, and we'll pay $8. They're really good. It'll help you in reading the Bible. If they only have two back there, you can get them from the ranch. Now, if you're going to get them from the ranch, you're going to have to send me a note. Just Bill Rice III. Bill Rice Ranch Road, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You can remember that, can't you? Bill Rice III, Bill Rice Ranch Road, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. How many of you have a road named for you, huh? Do you have a road name for you? That's okay. Well, this one's not named for me either. It's named for my dad, okay? But I'm serious. We'll get you a book, and we'll get it to half price. We sell them for $15 at the ranch, so we'll pay $8. You just, and we'll take care of the shipping cost. I'm serious about this, so take me up on it, okay? All right. Anything else I need to say, Brother Troy? Hey, can I say this? Consider working at West Branch in the future. You guys would be great. Consider it. Consider working here. You know, when you work at West Branch, you work with the best-looking counselors in America. Now, this summer happens to be the one exception, but normally, the best-looking counselors in America work here, and you will get rich. You will. You get, if you're a counselor, it's at $75 a week. Look at this. Look at this. It's hard to believe. Saturday comes, you get $75. You're thinking to yourself, what can I do with my $75? And before you know it, it's next Saturday, and you get another $75. And then it's another week, and you get another $75. You say, but Brother Rice, I got to pay for clothes. I got to pay for gas for my car. I got to, don't you have parents? Yeah, well, you tell your parents I need money for clothes, for gas for my car. You take the $75 a week and spend a week in Bermuda. Some of you are going, yeah, yeah, I'd like it. Okay, God bless you. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for working in our hearts and lives. Bless the rest of the day here at West Branch, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.